afternoon. This is Cheryl McClone for 99.3 County FM, County Grows. Today, I am once again going to be talking to Elise Watts about gardening. She's going to tell us how to start our spring gardens so they will flourish all summer. Hi, Elise. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you're going to be my gardening specialist.
I'm going to try anyways.
Yes.
So it's been a bit of an unusual spring in that it's been really, really cold. So in a lot of cases, things that, you know, might be already in the ground are a little bit later this year. I've just taken my tomato seedlings out of the greenhouse because I felt it was a little too cold to sort of, take them out already. By this point, though, people should have been able to plant peas, spinach, kale, because they're cold weather crops and they do better when it's a little cooler. They'll even survive a light frost.
So, yeah, I have my peas and spinach, and my peas are about 8 inches high now.
Yeah, no, this is good weather for peas. They'll do well. And then, you know, because obviously what's going to happen typically here, it's cold, 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 and then it's blazing hot.
Right.
So your cold weather crop have been enjoying this kind of weather, whereas your, you know, tomatoes and squash and peppers, and they're not quite ready yet to face that cooler weather.
How about strawberries?
Some of the strawberries have already come up, so obviously they're really good at, you know, sort of being able to withstand that cold kind of weather. I have some in my garden. They're not, they're a bit flowering at this point because they're wild strawberries. I'm not sure how the other ones are faring, if they're already flowering, but they probably are. We've had a couple of warm days, and that's all it takes is a few warm days, and they'll flower. What happens when it gets a lot cooler, like it's, you know, next couple of nights, it's going to go down to 10 degrees, maybe even 8 or 9. Things don't grow as quickly.
Okay. So the nighttime colds kind of makes it more dormant.
A little bit more dormant. They'll just be a little bit slower growing. They're not going to be, you know, affected. They're not going to die or not produce. They'll just, you know, take maybe a little bit more time to grow. But it is getting warmer, so now is the time if you've got things you want to plant out of your garden. The squashes, you can plant them from seed or you can buy seedlings. All of the nurseries have seedlings at this point. You can plant your beans as well. Is a time to plant beans if you're growing, you know, bush beans or pole beans. It's a good time to do that. And I know you were going to ask me a little bit about corn. Corn, again, is one of those slightly warmer season crops. You can plant them. You know, it's good to plant them in blocks, not necessarily a row. So if you just got a small space, I would suggest maybe, you know, 3 by 3 by 3 corn. And then you can have yourself a nice little feed of corn at the end of the growing season.
So what do you mean by 3 by 3?
So instead of a line, like you'll notice in fields, you know, they're all in lines, but they're all close to one another. So if you've got a small plot and you want to try some corn, the way that you would plant it is basically like in a square. You would put, you know, three stalks, and three stalks. So basically, you're having a square of corn as opposed to just a linear one.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah.
Good
so
idea.
That, you know, the silks can kind of touch each other because they're wind pollinated. So it's a little bit better and easier to do that with corn.
Oh, sounds really interesting. Yeah. How about cucumbers?
Cucumbers, again, you know, those are interesting crops. Best to have poles for them to climb on as opposed to letting them run on the ground because then, of course, you run the risk of getting moldy or I can only think of the French word right now, so I apologize. Again, corn does well with staking. You can use tomato cages for cucumbers. Tomato cages work really well with cucumbers. Otherwise, you have poles and you stake them up and they grow upright as opposed to sort of trailing around.
Yeah, I'm going to try cucumbers this year.
It's a good crop to grow, and then you could always plant some stuff underneath it, too. You could plant some carrots or some beets at the foot of your cucumbers to sort of fill that space if you don't plant them too close. They're generally heavy feeders, so if you're going to grow those kinds of crops, you're better off kind of putting maybe a little bit of some organic fertilizer in, maybe some manure, some compost. There are organic fertilizers that are all-purpose, so they'll be like a 4-4-4. that also helps. You can put amend your soil with that.
And peppers, when you put them in, how close do you do them when you grow them?
Yeah, again, some people sort of do the further apart, maybe like 18 inches apart. You can put them a little closer if you amend your soil properly. So if you if you feed your soil well, then you can plant a little bit more closely and a little bit more intensely. I would suggest if people are interested in more intensive growing that they look up square foot gardening. Which is an intense method of growing a number of vegetables, and you get a higher crop. Now, the soils are amended with a lot of compost and manure, and again, you feed them throughout the year with hopefully an organic. I always suggest organic fertilizers because the ones that have chemicals, they'll help your plants to grow, for sure, but they don't nourish your soil. So your plants may not be as healthy as you think they are. And again, it's all about if we're going to grow our own stuff, you do want it to be the healthiest possible. So if your soil is healthy, your plants will be healthy. So I always encourage people to use organic fertilizers. They're a little bit slower. They're slower release. You almost can't burn your plants with the organic fertilizers, unlike the chemical ones, which, of course, then, you know, if you put too many of them, your plant will suffer. So, again, it's a growing method. It's called square foot gardening. Another method that I'm going to mention, too, is called keyhole gardening. We did a little presentation last week at the garden club, and keyhole is where you create a tower for composting. So using maybe hardware cloth or chicken wire in the middle of a bed, and then you just put your compost in there. And so as that compost, as all your vegetables and grass and stuff decompose, they feed the surrounding garden.
That so, sounds interesting, yeah.
Another thing to look into is called keyhole gardening.
Right.
So these are all kind of methods to encourage, again, a more organic and sustainable approach to gardening.
Right. How about potatoes?
Potatoes are great. Now, there's all kinds of methods about growing potatoes. People swear by those containers, you know, the round pots where you just keep building up. You put a layer of soil in a sort of like a bin of, or a square.
I've never had luck with them.
No, I personally have grown them in a raised bed where you just make a trough, you plant your potatoes, and you keep hilling and hilling and hilling. And that, for me, has worked as well. Generally, during the last little bit, you cover with a bit of straw to keep some of that moisture in. Again, you know, people have preferences in terms of how they grow tomatoes. If you don't have a lot of space, yeah, by all means, try sort of like the one that I used at one point, I cut a water barrel in half, and I did use that, and it did work.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to make sure that the soil isn't too compact or heavy, because otherwise you're just kind of really not going to get much of anything. So with that kind of method, you really do have to use a lighter soil. Some people just use straw. They don't even bother using any, you know, they put soil at the bottom initially, and then they just use straw. So again, if you're going to use that kind of method, best to have a lighter soil rather than just regular garden soil, because it will compact and you won't get much of a crop.
I've got a raised bed, and I've got quite a few potato plants growing now, so hopefully, but the idea is to keep healing then. Put the dirt on it.
Yeah, you keep healing them, because basically what happens is the stem of the potato plant just keeps sending out shoots and producing potatoes. So the more you can start them lower and keep healing and healing and healing, then the more potatoes you'll get.
That sounds interesting. So what other crops can we grow in our gardens?
Oh, we can grow so much stuff. We can grow eggplants. Again, all of the different kinds of squashes, whether it's pumpkins or zucchini or all kinds of gourds. We can grow all kinds of different beans, whether it's bush beans or pole beans. You can grow okra here as well, which is a beautiful plant.
And what do you use okra for?
Mostly I would make pickles with it, but people use it to sort of like, you know, gumbo. It's got a gelatinous inside. It thickens some of the food that you use to cook it in. It's not a familiar crop. this year I bought artichoke. So I am going to try to grow artichoke. We have a short season for some of these vegetables. So again, if you can buy them from seedlings as opposed, or you start your seeds way early. Some people will start their seeds 6 to 8 weeks before the actual growing season starts. So you get a little bit of a head start on some of these things. Otherwise, they might not produce fruit because we have such a short season here.
Right. So you've got a greenhouse. Can you extend your season with your greenhouse if you keep it warm? Or
I don't heat my greenhouse, but what I do start my seeds indoor, and then I do move them into the greenhouse. So I guess you extend the season by basically being able to have your plants be a little bit more mature when you plant them outside, so that presumably they will flower and bear fruit a little bit sooner, which helps. And then you can extend it by at the end of the growing season as well. You can plant some seeds in the August if you have them at a greenhouse, and they'll do well in your greenhouse maybe up until November.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, even if your greenhouse isn't heated, stuff like all of the leafy stuff, again, it's like the spinach and kale and lettuces that you plant early, you can plant them very late into your greenhouse, and as long as it's not freezing, they will produce as well, even if your greenhouse isn't heated.
Interesting. Also, we have trouble with rabbits jumping up into the thing. And somebody said about putting plastic forks around the edge. So I'm going to be trying that to see if it deters the rabbits and the cats from going into my garden. What do you think of that?
I've tried many methods because we have a lot of bunnies on our property as well. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. Someone said that if you planted a row of chives, they don't like the alliums, so if you planted some chives or some onions in front of your garden, they might not be so keen as to sort of chomp on some other things. Other people also suggest making a little garden for them. So you plant some lettuce and some tasty things kind of off to the side, and then that way they're not as inclined to jump and eat your stuff. Again, raised beds help with that kind of stuff, maybe protecting it with either chicken wire or hardware cloth, making frames. We have to be prepared to share our crops with the wildlife that's around us.
What about garlic?
What about garlic?
We have garlic. It's about a foot and a half high. Do they like cold weather? Like, they're just growing like mad. And when should you cut it?
So I ended up learning this fall, this winter, I learned a very interesting trick for picking your garlic. So I would always wait till there were about 4 or 5 leaves from the bottom that turned yellow. And someone said to me, someone who grows garlic and sells it for a living, said, no, you need to pick them earlier. You need to pick them when there's only a couple of yellow leaves on the bottom, because the more yellow leaves there are, means the less paper there is around. Paper protection there is around your garlic. So I will try this year to pick them a little earlier. And what that does is it preserves your garlic longer.
Okay.
So you pick it and you cure it, which means you leave it out to really dry very well. You don't pile it up together. And once it's properly cured, if you have enough of those, that paper covering, the little, your garlic will last, her garlic was lasting well into February.
Wow.
So to have your garlic last a little longer, it's best to pick it a little earlier.
Yeah, because somehow we have tons of garlic growing.
It's a fabulous crop, and once you've taken it out of the ground, sort of probably mid-June, you can plant something else.
Oh, okay. That sounds interesting. So, anything else you would like to add?
And I always recommend, sort of like a lot of people want to still use the traditional method of like straight row gardening. Mix it up. Plant different things together. Plant some flowers. Plant some herbs. The companion planting is a good method to deter some insects, so you don't have to use herbicides or pesticides. You'll attract pollinators. So plant some flowers, plant different vegetables together, and then you'll have a fabulous garden.
Sounds interesting. thank you, Lise, for coming in. And hopefully we have another time to chat in another month about our gardening, maybe closer to the fall, how to put it to bed. So this has been Lise Bois for gardening. And this is Cheryl McClellan for 99.3 County FM, County Grows. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Cheryl and Lise. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a brief message with Liz Zylstra on what's happening at the library.